This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast. We are the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, brought to you, as always, by Go Loud. Let's dive straight in. Ben, a box office weekend to be a Red.
It's a very good weekend to be a Red. Some say probably the best all season. It's definitely up there.
It probably has to be at this late stage of the season. Obviously, the curtain came down on the entire women's season on Sunday with an incredible result. A 6-1 win. 6-1 up at half-time. I've never seen the likes of it in a cup final. Braces for Kate Mooney and Noelle Murray. Jess Gargan and Leah Doyle both pitched in. Probably even in either of our wildest dreams, Ben, couldn't have came up with that, could we?
No. I feel like if you're dreaming of a big cup win, it's 4-0 max and then you don't get too carried away. It's a bit mad. Look, Kate Mooney could have got one more to make me look like I'm really smart and look like I know about football after calling for a hat trick. But here, look, that's my only gripe with the whole thing.
It was an amazing performance from the very first whistle. The girls were just at it. Like, I think it was as simple as that. We were at it. They weren't. We didn't give Atlone a chance to get into the game at all.
I know it's cliche to use the buzzword sometimes, but the hunger, the desire, it was there. It was evident straight away.
Yeah, and it was interesting that in the build-up, I know a few of the players mentioned the media stuff that like they were looking for revenge. A lot of times they'll kind of, you know, try and play that down and say, no, it's not about revenge. But a few of them are very open.
They played to the emotion of the game really, really well. Like, they just played with such, there was a real needle to the performance. Like, it was, they went out like they had something to prove and something big to prove. Like, we talked about it before, like losing one game and then you're not the league champion is a bit of a mad thing. So it's like they went out, there was a real chip on their shoulder in the way they played. It was a very physical game. Like, you have Alex Kavanagh flying into tackles left and right.
Yeah, and I can't remember which goal it was for. Like, forgive me, there was six of them in 45 minutes of football. But Christy Gray as well clobbered somebody. I can't remember which goal it was for.
I think that was one of Kate Mooney's goals.
Yeah, and then it obviously ends up in the back of the net. But as you said, like Alex Kavanagh, Christy Gray was flying into tackles. Maggie Pearce was just everywhere. It was just a complete performance, I think. And like that, on another day, you can perform like that, not take the chances, and it stays really tight. But just everything we touched turned to gold. Like, an outrageous Kate Mooney's finish, I think, was our second one. Was it Leah Doyle played an outrageous little kind of dinked ball over the top? And Kate just nipped in front, finished that at the near post. Like, just a great goal. Like, very simple stuff, but just so clinical. Kate Mooney has been incredible. Her turnaround, how like lethal she's been in front of goal, has just been something I haven't seen.
Would you say she's a real game changer?
Here. You always have a lot of venom in your voice.
Sorry. It just had to be done.
Yeah, well, look, doing it in that ground as well obviously makes it very nice. Well done to Noel.
Sure, I told you, Talon's a lovely place to go when Rovers aren't there.
As I say, very well done to Noel Murray. Player of the match on the day. She was amazing. The camera picked her up, giving a little bit to the Athlone bench. I know there's a bit of back and forward there over the season. So Noel on the biggest stage of them all decided to give a little bit back, which I have an awful lot of time for.
I think one thing I saw on Twitter during the game was Noel Murray doing Noel Murray things. I'm like, yeah, that's actually just that perfectly sums it up for anyone that's watched her play.
Yeah, it's that simple, really, isn't it? We will mention it later on. The nominees for the 1895 Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year awards. We're going to announce them later on. An awful lot, particularly on the women's side, it was very, very difficult to narrow it down to three, I think it was fair to say. But before
Probably
we
next to
do,
impossible.
yeah, before we do our own ones, a huge well done to Alex Kavanagh, Caoimhe Keane, and Noel Murray and Pearl. They all get into the Women's Premier Division Team of the Year. Probably could have had a couple more in there, to be totally honest, but a massive well done. You always hear the players say that's the one that means the most because it's voted for by their peers. So there's no popularity vote in it, if you like. So a massive honour for the four. Very, very well done. Somehow I do have an issue with Maggie Pearce being left out.
It is an absolute disgrace.
I don't know whether to be I can't remember the previous teams of the year off the top of my head, but I don't know, like, do they cap it at four or something, maybe? Like, they don't want to have too many, but like how I personally, I thought she could have been man of the match, player of the match on Sunday as well.
Easily, but she's like that every week. It's just what you come to expect and what you get out of her.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, the players will say, ah, look, it's not, it's about the team. It's not about personal kind of accolades or whatever. But Maggie Pearce has just been incredible. She's fit so well into the new system, if you like, that Owen Wearan has implemented. And look, to be totally fair, you have to say really well done to Owen and his backroom staff. It's not always easy to pick up from a team that's so used to winning. Sometimes that can be a really difficult thing, but Owen came in, put his own stamp on it, and he got his rewards. Obviously, they would have wanted both trophies, but runner up, losing one game all season, and winning a cup, not a bad start, is it?
Very, very positive start. Okay. On the merit of his results, probably any other season, that's more than likely a double. So you have to say the future is looking really bright. And in fairness to Owen, he's a really, really good coach. He's done an awful lot with that side. Like you see the quality of football, and it was in full display in the cup final. It's been in full display all year. And just, I suppose, the way he integrates the young players with the experience in the team, like there's an awful lot of positives in what he's done this season.
I would say in the end, it was probably the weather was carnage, really, to say the least. I think it probably put a lot of people off, like neutrals just kind of wandering out to the game on the day of. But the Shells contingent that were there made themselves heard as they have done all season, and great scenes at the end. I mean, I don't know whose shout it was to do the actual presentation, where they bring out the hoarding kind of, they did it right down in front of that kind of travelling crowd, which was great. And just one of the really great shows this. Oh, it's something about winning a cup is just very, very special. The memories all those players will have. Some players coming maybe into the twilight of their career, some of them only getting started, but you don't forget winning stuff. I can tell you that for a fact. So massive well done to everyone. I think we were all quietly confident the girls would do the job, to be fair. But it's one thing being confident and actually getting it over the line. So massive well done to everyone. Before all that, on Sunday, Ben, there was a huge game Friday night. It was the most must-win game you'll ever have. There was loads of talk put into, oh, they've had a break. Will they come out a break on the right side or the wrong side? And by Jesus, we came out on the right side, didn't we?
Yeah, that's summed it up perfectly, I think. But again, really weirdly, and I don't want an arrogance to be there, but it's just the positivity around the place. I think everyone just bounced into the game with so much confidence. I've seen the players coming in to talk, they're like, the lads are all bouncing in there, wasn't there? They're just really happy to be back playing football after a week.
So much must be read into those. When I say it was a break, it's like 10 days, it's not massive, but I do think those breaks can go either way. Like, I think if you're on a good run, you don't want it to come. If you're on a bad run, maybe you're looking for the little break, but we certainly came out of it looking an awful lot sharper.
A
Just
bit of
look.
a, like, look a bit rejuvenated, really.
Yeah, we look more fluid or something. I don't know what it was. We just kind of looked a bit
Just the
more at
ball moves a
ease.
bit quicker. Yeah, it's we look more comfortable in ourselves. We look, the performance has been there for a few weeks, but maybe they just haven't been. It's just the final third that maybe it wasn't falling for us. I feel like a lot of things are falling for us. Like, look, people have said what they've said in media, and there's been a lot of experts turning around and saying we're not creating enough chances here. Watch Friday. There's chances. There's an awful lot of chances in that game.
Yeah, don't mind all them spoofers. I don't know whether this was asked of the manager. I did watch his interview back, but I can't remember. Ali Koo obviously was taken off. I don't know whether that was like an injury thing, whether it was a tactical kind of decision. Like, I'm not too sure. I know we kind of looked at each other going, jeez, that's Ali Koo coming off. So the manager did mention in his post-match about, we weren't. We were snatching at chances and stuff, and then Ali did have a couple of chances, but you just hope it's not injury related. I don't know whether you've got any inside scoop on that one.
I have not heard. I'll eagerly await the team news in a few days, and hopefully it's a better update. I say maybe precautionary if it was an injury, but look, he's one of those players, he's a big player. You could see like the hassle he was causing in the game. He's one you probably wouldn't want to lose in the run in, but I suppose if it is the case, it's just next one in, really, isn't it? Like Liam Burt comes in and he was brilliant.
Oh, he was electric. He was so good. Look, we'll come on to Liam's goal and that shortly. We fell behind to a penalty that wasn't a penalty, in my
Oh, it
opinion.
was mental. Oh, it was
Yeah, like
right there.
John Martin is fouled. Like,
Duty, I know. Go on, say your line.
I enjoy a bit of referee bashing now.
Have I turned to the dark side of referee bashing?
But there's been some complete shite in the last month or so in particular, or well, the last 4 or 5 week games, I should say. There's been some dross on the show, there really has.
I know it's very harsh to focus on one mistake, but he's right there.
Yeah, I often say this, I would have sympathy for refs when they don't have the best angle or somebody can run in front of them at the wrong time, but Jesus, he's looking straight at that. How he hasn't held between him and the line-out, they haven't seen the first foul. I don't know. Nevertheless, Amand goes slots the penalty home. What was your
Here,
initial thought? I know what you're gonna
I
do. I know what you're gonna do. You're gonna mention Boydie. Don't do that.
no, I'm actually not going to mention
That's all
Boydie at
right.
all.
That's all
No,
right.
don't you dare cut across me
No.
with incorrect assumptions ever again. What I was going to mention was Conor Cairns, who, if you actually watch it back, was incredibly unlucky not to get to that penalty.
Well, sorry about me. We are
Back to your box.
recording an awful lot later than usual, so Ben is obviously a little bit cranky. Do you know what you need? Milk and a jammy wagon wheel.
Here, no better combo. But no, I just gonna say Connor is very, very unlucky because he does so well for the penalty. Like he gets down, or I think he gets a little touch on it. Like on another night, he tips it onto the post. But when the ball hits the back of the net, it very weirdly, I was quite calm.
It is a bit
Like
scary, isn't
I didn't feel like because it was against the run of play completely, so I didn't feel like, oh no, they have us here.
No, yeah, I definitely didn't feel like that at the time. But I would make the point if we don't score when we scored, I think it could be a very nervy kind of people have 15 minutes to sit and think, and generally speaking, that's not a good thing. So, Boydie scoring the goal when he did. Massive. I should clarify when I said to you there, you're going to mention Boydie. I dropped a bollock in his post-match interview, basically. Said that he gave the penalty away. And it must have been really nice to go up the other end and make amends for the penalty that he gave away. I
It'll
just.
be in our end of season bloopers video that Doody probably won't let me release.
I heard somebody say that Boyd gave the pen away. And look, I would check myself, and I didn't because we were due to go to the pub after the game. So,
Doody, I've sent you that clip though. Have you seen the panic in the poor man's face when he said
it's
it?
terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. I throw out the phrase justice for Boydie an awful lot in this pod, and I would like to formally apologize to Sean for blaming him for giving away the penalty.
Doody, we've been banging that justice to Boydie drum since Waterford, first game of the season.
People wanted him out, Ben. They wanted him hung, drawn, and quartered. Get rid of him. He got sent off. He's a liability. He's blah blah. Doesn't do enough when he's playing to warrant that. Rah, 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 rah. He's gonna cost us. Well, put it to you this way, he has put us two wins away from winning the league. So, and I done a bit of digging earlier on. When Boydie scores, we pick up points. There's only been one game that Boydie has scored in, and we've lost. So, those of you that hate Boydie are probably the same people that hate JJ. So, go crawl into a hole somewhere.
Duty needs a wagon wheel and a glass of milk.
These late records, I'm telling you. But the point I was making was Boydie was brilliant. His finish was fantastic for the first one. His general play for the whole game was second to none. He was a handful. He is a massive pain in the arse to play against. I, to be totally honest, was expecting the whistle to go for that first one just because it usually does.
Boy, yeah.
It was never a foul, now, mind you. What did he
No.
say to us in the interview? He just would have ran back to the
Walked
training
off.
ground and left
Yeah,
football altogether.
walked off the pitch. That
Yeah.
was foul.
Yeah, so
But so I someone said this after the game, and I actually kind of had to think about it. Do you think that was Boydie's best game in a red shirt?
I'd argue it, isn't it? A brace and
Like a lot of people point to the Bowls Cup game, but like I don't know. I just think as big as those goals were, like the Waterford goals were up there.
yeah, he's just unplayable when he's like that. He really is. Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, he
But
wins
like
headers, he sticks the ball. Like, just good luck trying to stop him.
his finish, a finish like that off his left foot, which is supposedly his weaker foot.
Yeah, and with so much time.
Like I don't know when he hits he's hitting and he's doing well. Like it's very hard to argue that he's probably one of our best players when he is on form like that.
Yeah, I'd totally agree with that. Look, we then won a penalty. Yeah, Boydie. I love a penalty like that. Now, it's hard to mount stuff as well, but what a penalty. Like, he wasn't didn't half-heart it at all. He couldn't question his confidence because he lashed that thing in off the bar. Oh, don't mind that. It's just a dog causing mayhem.
Yeah, he really. Someone said it was a Ruud van Nistelrooy-esque. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. He just hammers it.
And after we went 2-1 up, again, all the normal things we tend to say on this pod seemed to come true on Friday, Ben. Conor Cairns, when he was most needed, pops up with that save, which I don't think people appreciate how difficult a save that one with his foot was.
Oh, it's massive.
Like, how
Like
many times have we said it?
we are right down, like we are right down at the tunnel. When that shot happens, and you think you're dead and buried. You think they're oh no, they've pulled it back here. But Connor's reaction's incredibly quick, and just the composure, I think, to just clear the ball and not hook it, and like we didn't panic. Like there was a sense of. It's grand, everything is okay. It was a weird, like, again, calm of we get it away, we got it away. But it's an incredible save. But that's what Connor gives you.
Yeah, when he's most needed, he pops up. Can't believe he didn't get into the team of the season.
That's mind boggling.
I was baffled by that one.
I thought Conor being with a shout there. In fairness, I also thought Gano being with a shout, so
Yeah,
who am I?
look,
Who am I to speak?
as we said on the women's team of the season, a massive well done to Mark Coyle and Paddy Barrett, deservedly in the team of the season. Look, Mark Coyle is just, I can't, he just seems to have this effect of, I think I've said it before about him, that like he's leading and everyone else seems to follow. Like when Mark is at it, everyone seems to be, if that makes sense. It's like he drives, and again, it's probably, people say it's a
Well, I guess,
lazy comparison, but it's that Roy Keane thing where he just kind of
yeah.
drags you through.
Perfect. Well, if he's gonna throw his body everywhere and he's gonna do what needs to be done, I'll do what needs to be done.
Yeah, he's
Similar to that
just,
kind of thing.
yeah, and he's a such a nice fella to talk to off the pitch, but he's a scary man when he's on it. Similar to Paddy Barrett, I would say, in that they're
Yeah,
very,
probably
very
two of the nicest
intense,
people you can meet. Yeah.
but also complete and utter lunatics when they get onto a football pitch. The I what I felt was going is going to be a turning point. Like again, the manager's alluded to this a few times. It's mad saying like this could be a turning point in our season when we've been top pretty much the whole time. But JJ coming back on felt like a huge moment.
There was, I don't know if you felt this, but there was a real relief in the ground.
Yeah,
There was
100%.
a real kind of like weight off your shoulders of, oh, JJ's back.
Yeah, we'll be all right here. And with all this, part of me does be very not annoyed for Evan Caffrey, but I think sometimes Evan gets,
It's a bit hard done by sometimes.
yeah,
A bit over,
not brushed to the side, but
overlooked maybe.
yeah, I think he's very underrated. He can kind of do Coyler and JJ's jobs, if you know what I mean. He can do a bit of both.
Bit of a hybrid, yeah.
Yeah, he's great at kind of breaking our midfield with the ball as well. But with those three, like having a fit JJ now and being able to just interchange them a little bit if need be, that could be huge for the last two games. But one thing that I don't know if it was lost on me at the time, I have to be honest, I didn't actually notice it. It was only when I watched the game back. JJ's pass to Liam Burt
It's
is the
outrageous.
most JJ Looney pass you'll ever see in your life.
It's something I think we touched on it literally a pass like that months ago on the pod where it's just you think he's going one way and it's just little clip in, sails along,
Oh, it
just kind of
was.
skids along and it's like it was perfectly weighted. It's exactly what needed to be done.
It was unbelievable. And not to discount Liam Burt's finish, his dribble, his composure, and his finish was phenomenal as well. I was happy
Well,
for
Liam Burt's
Limo. I
foot
think
as well. Like I
yeah.
will say, like that, it's very easy for that to get caught under someone's foot if they're running onto it, especially. So, like he's done really well. Like it's not like there was nothing to do. He had a little bit of work to do it, and here he did it.
Thank God. And you said there about when JJ came on, there was a sense of relief. The relief, the outpour of tension and emotion when that turtle went in. I mean, I was just screaming in your face at one stage.
Was that the goal that we embraced and then jumped around in a circle for, or was that the penalty?
Yes. No. That was Liam Burt's one. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we decided to just scream in each other's face, then embrace and jump around in a circle.
Yeah, sure. What else would you be
But
doing?
if you look around, that's what everyone else is doing beside you because it was big. It felt big. It felt needed. It was like one more kill it off. That's it. One more kill it off.
And kill it off, we did. It's left us in a position, Ben. Two wins from the last two games, and Shells have won the league, which is just an incredible. It's just incredible we're even in the position we're in. We do have to move along. We've had to kind of shoehorn this episode in. Our schedules for once didn't really match up this week, so we're recording very, very late to make sure that we get something to you. So forgive us if we're maybe not given as much
Our end of
detail into
season
things.
special will make up for
Oh yeah, full of cans, full of cans.
it.
I mentioned earlier the 1895 Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year for both teams will be given out again this year. We have the, I was going to say honor, but I think Ben, we're going to get a bit of stick as well. We're going to give you the nominees for each award. I consulted plenty of people today, volunteers, supporters of all different ages, eras, the whole lot, just to try and get as round of an opinion as I could get. And I basically took like a mini vote among all their suggestions. No players or staff were consulted on this, so nobody can be accused of nepotism. But we did agree on this before we start recording. So if you have a problem, your problem is with me and Ben, not just me. So Ben, you ready for this?
I am indeed.
Your 1895 Men's Player of the Year Award nominees. We've got Paddy Barrett. We've got JJ Lunny and we've got Mark Coyle. Plenty, very unlucky to miss out, but I was told to limit it to three. So I've done my part. Any major honourable mentions in there, Ben?
Think. If you're looking at it, maybe a Gano, Conor Cairns in there with a shout. It's hard, like, you could make a case for almost anyone, really.
Yeah, you could. You
The
could.
lads have just been that good this season, but I think for me, anyway, and a lot of other Reds and yourself, they're kind of your standout three this season.
Yeah, just so everyone's clear, we didn't include in the main award, we didn't include Gav Malloy or Will Jarvis, who've obviously left the club. To be honest with you, neither got as many votes in that one as the others did. So one of them might crop up in the young player, but we'll come to that one shortly and we'll take the stick if we need to get it. Your 1895 Women's Player of the Year. Your nominees are Maggie Pearce, Kate Mooney, and the evergreen Pearl Slattery. Again, so many there. Like Alex Kavanagh and Kiva obviously got into the team of the season. They've not been nominated for this individual award, but again, somebody just had to miss out, and unfortunately, there is an awful lot that could have missed out on that one. Do you agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, again, it's one of those where it's a nightmare trying to pick when so many have done so well this season.
Yeah, it's a stinker. But now, the Young Player of the Year awards on both sides. We'll start with the women this time. We've got Leah Doyle, we've got Hannah Healy, and we've got Lucy O'Rourke. Again, wide variety there. All in their own way have affected both individual games just over the course of the season, been consistently really good. I should have specified actually, it's under 23s for that award. There's been a lot of chagrin about that one as well, Ben, the age kind of limit, but we're just sticking to the rules. So there are three nominees for the 1895 Women's Player of the Year. And sorry, Young Player of the Year. Excuse me, it's very late. So for your men's Young Player of the Year award, even my own dog is crying at me here for making such a hames of this one. We have Evan Caffrey, Cameron Ledwidge, and Will Jarvis. Now, the reason Jarvo has snuck into that one is because he was basically next on the list for the senior player, and it was probably fair he was included somewhere. So there are your nominees. By the time, it'll probably be Thursday, by the time it'll go live where you can vote, keep an eye on all the club socials. with more specific details on how you can cast your vote. Ben, unfortunately, we're nearly there for tonight because of circumstances have got in the way. But
Life finds a
quickly,
way,
what?
but
Yeah, before my dog bites my leg off here, I would ask you for your Richie Baker and your Richie Winter, please, if you don't mind.
Richie Winter is the fella from Kerry who wanted recognition for going to all the games.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying.
Richie Baker is one Stephen Doody for how funny it was when he made a mistake with Sean Boyd. And he got so rattled that Darren was like, "Boy, did you just walk off?" And you're like, "Just let me do the interview, please."
Yeah, it wasn't great. Not my finest hour, I have to say.
I'd say you took it like a champ, though, so I'd
Because you
give it
have
to you.
to. There's no fucking choice. My Richie Winter is the same. It's that Gombian from Kerry who wanted some kind of formal award for supporting his
I
team.
got all the games. Where's my recognition from the club, please?
Yeah,
I would
my
like a plaque and a stand named after me.
outrageous. My Richie Baker. It's Bernard O'Toole, the Virgin commentator. Because after watching the game back a couple of times, I just think he's a really good commentator. Knows his stuff, knows the players. It's a very basic thing, but not all the commentators do have it. But he most definitely does. And he's a pretty sound fella as well, which always helps. So they're the Richie rankings for this week. I'll just do a quick recap on those award nominations, because I fear I may have made complete shite of them. So your 1895 Men's Player of the Year nominees are Paddy Barrett, JJ Lunny, and Mark Coyle. Your Women's Player of the Year nominees are, they're the young players, don't mind them, are Maggie Pearce, Kate Mooney, and Pearl Slattery. Your Young Player of the Year on the women's side, we have Leah Doyle, Hannah Healy, and Lucy O'Rourke. And your Young Player on the men's side, it's Evan Caffrey, Cameron Ledwich, and Will Jarvis. Are you happy with that, Ben?
I think you've done well there,
Yeah, so many that could have got in, but we're very unlucky to miss out. Ben, as I say, not as much waffle as we would usually have, we would tend to have, but schedule's just working against us. God damn those real life jobs.
real jobs and obligations. Damn it. Just let us
Yes.
talk about the Reds, please.
Yeah, don't get a real job, whatever you do. I would also like to offer an apology to anyone in Kennedy's on Friday night that I consistently told them we'll have our day. We'll have our day.
But he's not wrong.
No,
And that
no.
is a parting message.
Yes. But too much stout on that one. But look, we've all been there. Ben, thank you very, very much for giving up your evening.
A pleasure as always, Duty.
Indeed, and I'll see you on Friday. Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.